Have you ever had what is called a mountaintop experience? It is something like a profound spiritual experience, and there are many of them, that fills you with joy and unconditional love that you don't have adequate words to describe. Some people have them on a retreat, like a Curcio experience, during adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, hearing an awesome piece of music that transcends your soul, or sometimes in the awesomeness of God's creation. It is a pure gift of God who surprises us with divine love and joy and comes when we least expect it. The Bible is chock full of these encounters of humans with the divine, and it is such a mountaintop experience that we hear today on Mount Tabor, as is the tradition, the story of Jesus transfigured with 3 out of the 12 disciples present with him, who also see a vision of Moses and Elijah. It is so awesome that Peter wants to stay there and erect 3 tents for them. But it is also terrifying because they really don't know what to make of it all. Jesus gives them a cryptic message, not to tell anyone except after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. But they wonder, what does rising from the dead mean? So this passage ends in mystery. We might say that Jesus had given them a taste of his rising from the dead, or heaven, to spur them on and give them trust and hope. And because there has been in history 2,000 years of Christianity, we kind of know what rising from the dead means. And the promise that we will receive it should be something we long for, to enter heaven when we die. But on another level, we have no clue what the fullness of rising from the dead entails. It is still great mystery. People are fascinated with books and movies about so-called near-death experiences. Maybe you have had one. This literature chronicles the experience of persons who were clinically dead for minutes or hours and then were medically resuscitated and brought back to life. What's interesting and consoling is that virtually all these stories are wonderfully positive, irrespective of the person's faith or religious background. In virtually every case, their experience, while partially indescribable, was one in which they felt a warm, personal, overwhelming sense of love, light, and welcome. And not a few of them found themselves meeting relatives of theirs that had passed on before them, even some relatives that they did not know they had. As well, in virtually every case, they did not want to return to the earth as we experience it here. Like Peter on the Mountain of Transfiguration, they wanted to stay. During these peak experiences, mountaintop experiences as I've named them, parts of your life seem to make sense and come together. You realize that everything happens for a reason. However, these special messages are fleeting, and that is why faith on earth is so difficult. After the experience, we must live with the not knowing, because we trust at some level in the one who does know, that person who is so good and loving. Jesus was building that trust in his disciples, and by going down the mountain with them, he indicated that they had to enter into the difficulties and sorrows and challenges of this life once again. And he was going to show them that no matter who we encounter in life or how difficult it is, the pathway forward is his way of love. The affirmation of the voice, "You are my beloved son, listen to him," and I would add, follow him, is both identity and mission. God always chooses to love us at the very core of our being. And when you have an experience like this, you always know that things are okay. And though probably you want to stay, you receive that courage, that strength to go back into the everyday challenges of life. God is always with us and accompanying us on our journeys. During World War II, a man named George Ritchie, a soldier at the time, had a near-death experience and later wrote a book about it. His encounter with Jesus transfigured and dazzling white was all about, quote, an astonishing love, a love beyond my wildest imagining. This love knew every unlovable thing about me, the quarrels with my stepmother, my explosive temper, the sex thoughts I could never control, every mean, selfish thought and action since the day I was born. And yet, he accepted and loved me just the same. And George was questioned by the Lord in his encounter. How much have you loved with your life? Have you loved others as I am loving you? Totally, unconditionally. George was baffled because he knew the scriptures about Jesus. And Jesus explained to George that he had been taught about Jesus' mission, and he replied to the bafflement that George expressed by telling him, I told you by the life I lived. I told you by the death I died. And if you keep your eyes on me, you will see more. In Lent, we have certain ascetic practices that help us to become more lovingly Christ-like. But the reality is, if I do all the penances and almsgiving and fastgiving and do not have that attitude of love of Jesus Christ in me, I'm merely a clashing cymbal or a clanging gong. The mystery of God's intimate personal presence inside us is beyond our imaginations, but everything within our faith tradition, and now most everything in the testimony of hundreds of people who have experienced the afterlife, assure us that while God may be infinite and ineffable, God is so very close to us and loves us immensely, more than we can ever imagine.